जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, 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 यशोदा जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, गाय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशिष्य मंदिर वाइंग्रह श्रील ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की, मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयामुदीरहे, नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी, कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 16। विचक्षणो यहार्हति विदितुम् विभोर् अनंत पार्यस्य निवृत्तये सुखं प्रवत्तमानस्य गुणेर अनंतमानस ततो भवन दर्शय चेष्टितम विभो। विचक्षणो हरति विदितुम विभोर अनंत पर्यस्य निवृत्ति सुखम प्रवर्त्यमानस्य गुणेर अंतमानस ततो भवान दर्शय चेष्टितम विभो। विचक्षणो अर्हति विदितुम विभोर अनंतस्य पारस्य निवृत्ति सुखम प्रव्यत्यमानस्य गुणेर अनंतमानस ततो भवान दर्शय चेष्टितम विभोर। विचक्षणो अर्हति विदितुम विभोर अनंत पार्यस्य निवृत्ति सुखम प्रवर्त्यमानस्य गुणेर अंतमानस ततो भवान दर्शय चेष्टितम विभोर। Any ladies want to speak? Okay. Vichakshanaha, very expert, asya, of him, arhati, deserves, viditum, to understand, vibho, of the Lord, anantaparyasya, of the unlimited, Nivritti, retired from, Sukham, material happiness, Pravatya Manasya, those who are attached to, Gunai, by the material qualities, Anantamana, devoid of knowledge and spiritual value, Tata, therefore, Bhavan, your goodness, Darshaya, show the ways, Cheshtitam, activities, Vibho, of the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality, retired from the activities of material happiness, deserves to understand this knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the way of transcendental realization by your goodness through descriptions of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. Purport. Theological science is a different subject, especially when it deals with the transcendental nature of the Lord. When it deals with the transcendental nature of God. It is not a subject matter to be understood by persons who are too much attached to material activities. Only the very expert who have almost retired from materialistic activities by culture of spiritual knowledge can be admitted to the study of this great science. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that out of many hundreds and thousands of men, only one person deserves to enter into the transcendental realization. And out of many thousands of such transcendental realized persons, only a few can understand the theological science, specifically dealing with God as a person. Sri Vyasadeva is therefore advised by Narada to describe a science of God directly by relating his transcendental activities. Vyasadeva is himself a personality expert in this science and he is unattached to material enjoyment. Therefore, he is the right person to describe it. And Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is the right person to receive it. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science and therefore it can react, on the layman as medicinal doses. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science and therefore it can react on the layman as medical doses. Because it contains the transcendental activities of the Lord, there is no difference between the Lord and the literature. The literature is the factual, literally incarnation of the Lord. So the layman can hear the narration of the activities of the Lord. Thereby they are able to associate with the Lord and thus gradually become purified from material diseases. The expert devotee who can discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in the terms of particular time and circumstance. A devotional service is dynamic activity and the expert devotees can find out competent means to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. Such transcendental activities of the devotees for the service of the Lord can bring a new order of life to the foolish society of these materialistic men. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his subsequent followers exhibited expert dexterity in this connection. By following the same method, one can bring the materialistic men of this age of quarrel into order for peaceful life and transcendental realization. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, welcome to this wonderful, I would call it a festival of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Every morning ఇట్ ఇస్ కర్ణోత్సవ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ద ఫెస్టివల్ ఆఫ్ ద ఇయర్స్. వీ హ్యావ్ నాట్యోత్సవ్, వీ హ్యావ్ వేరియస్ ఉత్సవ్స్, బట్ ఎవ్రీ మార్నింగ్ దిస్ ఈస్ అ ఫెస్టివల్ ఫర్ ద ఇయర్స్ టు హియర్ ద వండర్ఫుల్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. అండ్ ఇమర్స్ అవర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ అండ్ అవర్ లైఫ్ ఇన్ ఫాలోయింగ్ దిస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ టీచింగ్స్. అండ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ కన్వర్సేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ between Vedavyas, who in this situation is acting as a form of a disciple. Vyas, we just celebrated Vyas Purnima, right? Guru Purnima is Vyas Purnima. When we worship Vedavyas, it happens to be his appearance day, so we worship him as the supreme guru, as the original guru. Of course, the original guru is Krishna, is Jagat Guru. But Ved Vyas is the guru. That's why we call Vyasasana, where the original guru is sitting. And any guru who sits on the Vyasasana is simply a representative of Ved Vyas. So Ved Vyas is the original guru. But in this scenario that we are discussing right now, he is discussing with his guru, Shri Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is addressing his despondent situation, his despondency. He said that I did so much work, I did so much of writing, but I'm not happy. Why? So it's very important, my dear friends, that we actually get satisfied, and the natural outcome of satisfaction is inner happiness when we do something. We cannot keep on doing something like zombies, mechanically, without really knowing whether we are giving happiness or not. So that is why Vedavyas, after writing everything, he was doing introspection, he was doing mananam, and he was deeply thinking, going into his inner core of his heart and finding a vacant situation, finding something is really deficient. And he was trying to know, he said, I don't understand why. Because I've done everything that I think I should do. I've given everything that is required to be given. And then Shri Narad Muni, what an amazing personality Narad Muni is. Such a sad thing, my dear friend, right? That such a glorious personality as Narad Muni is portrayed in our unfortunate modern, so-called modern understanding as a very funny personality, right? I mean, before we came to Krishna consciousness, the sad part is this is called brainwashing, by the way. Systematically our brains were washed, not with removing the dirt but putting in dirt, to show Shripad Narad Muni as a very funny character. Yes, you all agree? All of us had understanding that Narad Muni is a very funny character, a person who causes fights and such things. Such an insult. But here, by the great mercy of Prabhupada, we see the way things are. We see things as it is. Narad Muniji is a glorious Vaishnava, not only a Vaishnava, he is a glorious, is a guru of Vedavyas, who is in a position to address Vedavyas and address his despondency. And herein, my dear friends, it is explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimited. It is Vibho. It is unlimited, and to understand Him is very, very difficult. How does one understand the unlimited? And for example, just to give something that we can relate to, you know, if you have a line which is say 15 centimeters, then you draw it on the board. We take a scale and you draw it on the board and you say this is 15 centimeters. You see it. You can understand it. It has a beginning, it has an end. 15 centimeters. Or if it is even bigger, say 2 meters, you can still hold something which is 2 meters. So, it may not fit in your eyes, but you can actually move and see. Something can be very, very big, still it can be measured. But how do you measure something which is unlimited? Not possible. And that too, definitely not possible with our dull senses, our limited senses. No. So he's first addressing Narad Muni, saying, my dear Vedvyasji, Krishna is unlimited. And then he said, Vichakshana, very expert, only a very expert person can understand him. So the two things required here, and as you see in the words, if you analyze it, that only an expert person and Nivrittimana, a person who is detached, Vichakshana and Nivrittimana, one who is detached and expert. That is why it is explained in the Gita, Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Teha Parata Chetasam Vivashyatmika Buddhi Samadhona Vidyate. That one who is too attached to material sense gratification, the resolute determination, such a sweet word, such a beautiful word, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. No matter how much ever you try, you need to be determined to achieve something. Yes? If you want to achieve something, and many, all of you have, must have, all of us have worked hard to achieve something, and you are not achieved till the time you are determined. Right? But the fact is explained that if you want to achieve Krishna, you want to be Krishna conscious, then the resolute determination of devotional service will not take place till time you are attached to sense gratification. And that is why it is explained that person has to be detached, and not only detached, but intelligent. Vichakshana, expert. Okay, expert means many, many things. One of the aspect of Vichakshana is he has to be intelligent. Now, what is the situation of the people of the material world here? Manda sumanda matiyor manda bhagya upadrita. Right? How it described the people of Kali Yuga? Manda, that is, manda means what? A manda buddhi ka hai. Dull headed, right word. Dull headed. Manda, and that is, it is not only for few people whom we think they are dull headed, but in general, everybody is manda, sumanda, bhagya. That is dull headed, and we are manda bhagya. That means we are utterly unfortunate. So it's not only, I mean, can you imagine a situation, you know, where we are manda, our bhagya is manda, the everything, things around are useless. What is the scenario? What is the hope? Just imagine the situation. It's not that you are smart and people around you are dull. Or not that you are only the manda buddhi and everybody else is supporting you to really grow. The whole environment is helping you to become more manda. It is a society of manda buddhi. So that's what it is. It does not support to go up. It only helps you to go down. The whole support, the whole default system is to go down. It is not supporting to go up. And it is explained that one of the major problems with these people of the material world is Indriya Pritri Apranote, right? Prahlad Maharaj says, you love the Indriya. Indriya Pritri, what a sweet word. It sounds, oh, Indriya Pritri. But it's horrible. We want Krishna Pritri. We want attachment to Krishna. But this is Indriya Pritri. We all love our senses. See, it is not just, we love our senses. Priti means love.
I mean, we are in love with somebody. Like when you are in love with somebody, that means you are obsessed by that person, right? Oh, everything, you, wherever you see, wherever you go, wherever you talk, you are just upset because you love that person. Yes? How many of you have been in love with somebody? Hopefully not. I mean, talking about the, since you are young boys, we all may get into the scenario that, oh, you love somebody. Nowadays it is said that, hopefully you are loving the opposite sex, if at all. But there's another problem. But anyway, the point is, to when you love somebody, you are obsessed. So similarly, Indriya Preeti means you are obsessed by your senses. Please, I mean, I was trying to put some thought to it, because many times, I mean, for the years and years that we have heard these beautiful verses, we have not really, at least I realize, I have not really put any attention to, or rather not much attention to these verses, which are, each word is selected very, very appropriately. When you talk about Indriya Preeti, what does it really mean? That means we are so very attached, so very obsessed by our senses, we don't realize anything else. Obsession means what? I don't see anything else. That's my Preeti. That means how I can satisfy my ears, my eyes, my nose, my tongue, and other things. Right? So that's Indriya Preeti. So that is why, my dear friends, you know, it is explained that Krishna is unlimited, and to understand Krishna is very difficult. You need to be vichakshana and you need to be detached. But most people are not. That's why Narad Muni said, you have to do something. Krishna, he ultimately wrote the Vedanta Sutra. Vedivyasa had written the Vedanta Sutra by that time. I said, you have written Vedanta Sutra. And now what do the people of Kali Yuga? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That's one of the sutra, right? Three words. I just imagine if somebody just tells you now, this is scripture, you read. And he said, what is the first word? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It's codified. It's sutra. That means the whole knowledge is codified. But you do not have the unzip file about it. I mean, you need to have, you have a zip file. But if you don't have an unzip program, what will you do? You just have the program. You just have this. There's a lot of data in there, important data. But if you need to get a winzip or unzip, whatever you call it, to unzip it and open the file and say, wow, oh, there's so much data here. I can access the data. But akkali nahi hai. We don't have the brains to understand that Vedanta Sutra. We can access it. So Narad Muni said that people of Kali Yuga cannot access Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Something, all these sutras, not possible. They said, that's why he said, you should describe. What is it written? Darshaya. By, and show the way by Krishna's activities. You describe Krishna's activities, the Lord's activities. And by describing the activities, the people will be able to relate. And the activities are non-different than the Lord. And because the activities are non-different from the Lord, that people will directly associate with the Lord and they'll be purified. And that this whole aspect was so nicely shown, if you analyze it, in the character of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Banaras. And he's in Banaras, he just holds Harinam Sankirtan, he's chanting and dancing on the streets, and there are so many very, very powerful erudite scholars headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, sannyasis. It is explained that you need to be nivritri mana, you need to be detached. From the ashram point of view, the sannyasis are the most detached. And the sannyasis are the only people who can really understand the Vedanta Sutra. So these personalities were trying to understand the Vedanta Sutra, and they were reading Vedanta Sutra. He and his 60,000 disciples. And he saw this another sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya. He is also like us. But what is he doing? He is just chanting and dancing on the streets like a sentimental person, crying. I said, what is he doing? Why does not he study the Vedanta with us? So they were thinking like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give them the opportunity to understand. So then we all know the beautiful story. He comes to meet Prakashananda Saraswati and his disciples, and he sits on a place where they're washing the feet. And they said, hey, Goswamiji, please don't sit here. He gives him the hand, does Agyata Sikriti by offering him some service, gets him to sit, and they, please sit with us. And he asks them, I said, you are from the Bharati Sampradaya. You are from the Why don't you sit with us and study the Vedanta? Why are you chanting on the street? And what did he say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru More Murkha Deki Kariyo Shashan. That my guru, he said that, you know, after he said, you are a fool. So you don't worry about Vedanta Sutra. You simply chant Hare Krishna and dance. That's all you can do. So I'm a fool. So I'm just sitting, I'm just doing, I'm not engaging myself in Vedanta Sutra. I'm just dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahapandit. Even if you don't see him as God, he was Nimai Pandit. One who defeated Keshav Kashmiri. That's how. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I am Murkh. To show that people of this world are Murkh. We will never understand Krishna through Vedanta Sutra, even if we try to. And that's why we should engage into this simple process of chanting and dancing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm just chanting. And then when he explained, I mean, this beautiful discussion, but then Prakashananda Saraswati and his disciples, they all became his followers, and they all realized that the purpose of life is to simply understand Krishna by chanting and dancing. So this is what is very clearly shown, very graphically explained in this verse. Krishna is supreme, is unlimited. Who can understand him? People who are detached and expert. And what are you? You are all of us, rather. I mean, the Bhagavatam is saying this. And who are you? All of us are Manda Sumanda. So what is the hope? Greatest person, understood by so-and-so person, and what is me? So what do we do? I said, no, don't worry. Narad Muni is there to take care. I said, please explain. Please explain Krishna Leela. Please explain Rama Leela. Please explain Narasimha Leela. Please explain Varaha Leela. Please explain Vama Leela, Matsya Leela. Narasimha Leela. And see how people will be attracted. And don't you see the magic, by the way, friends? That just imagine if there was Vedanta Sutra, would there be serials made on Vedanta Sutra? But we have Krishna Leela. And I remember, maybe you guys were too small, many of people sitting here, but during Krishna Leela or Ramayana, when it was telecasted, the whole India was standstill. Nobody worked. Even I'm talking about 15 years, 20 years ago. The whole India, people didn't want to attend to phone calls. People didn't want to go out. The streets were empty. It said, if you want to really get some work done, go out at a time where Mahabharata is telecasted. That roads are empty. What does this show? That people got attracted to the Leela of the Lord. Even the people who otherwise not devotees, but they all got attracted. It works. On a mass level. When there's Ram Leela, Krishna Leela going on, people love to just see it. Because that is the nature of the soul, my dear friends. It's nature to really to see the Lord's pastimes. So Narad Muni really brought out the essence. I said, do this and it will work. And it works. And it continues to work and it will continue to work. But the problem is, as explained the words, one more point that is mentioned is, that it is explained that this Bhagavatam will act like a medical dose, is explained. Prabhupada is writing very, very appropriately. And you know, as I said, each word written is not without intense thinking. We all know the scenario in which Prabhupada was translating these books. He was referring to commentaries of all the acharyas. And this is, by the way, written in Vrindavan. This is at Radha Damodar temple, the first canto. So, I mean, of course, it's the same. Whether he writes it in Radha Damodar temple, he writes it in Miami Beach, Florida. It's the same purports. But the intensity of Prabhupada when he wrote the first canto, he was so keen that he wanted to put everything inside. So that when he has some ammunition to go to the West. So he was putting everything inside. Everything. His whole, this, he says, these are my spiritual ecstasies. This is Prabhupada's ecstasies. So maybe, you know, many of these verses, the purports were written early morning, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the holy land of Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple, seeing in front of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, getting inspired by Rupa Goswami, and Prabhupada is writing this. Please understand, these are Prabhupada's spiritual ecstasies. So when Prabhupada is writing, a statement that this Bhagavatam is the topmost theological science and therefore it can react on the layman as a medical dose. So Prabhupada was a chemist. So Prabhupada did have a background of chemistry, and that's why he talks about reactions and everything. You can see it does. You can see in Prabhupada's many of these purports, you see the traces of Bombay of Scottish Church's College. He talks about English people, talks about freedom fighting, because Prabhupada was a freedom fighter. He talks about chemistry many times, about reactions. So obviously when a person is connected to something, that obviously comes. So Prabhupada is a chemist. He said that Bhagavatam reacts and acts like a medical dose. That means, what does it mean when he says that the Bhagavatam acts like a medical dose? That means potentially, basically, he's talking about people being sick. Otherwise, you don't need a medical dose. We are all suffering from a disease. We are bhava rog. Aniche aushadhi maya nasi baro lagi hari naam mahamantra laho tumi magi. Chatamabur is also saying that I've got this medicine, aushadhi. Very clearly he's saying that I've got his aushadhi, and that's why you should, and because we are all suffering from disease. So what is the disease that we are suffering from? I was just imagining that, you know, if we go to a clinic, we have a doctor sitting here, Gopal Krishna. If we go to a clinic and we imagine that Krishna is the doctor. And he says, okay, now do your health checkup. So Krishna will say that, well, you know, you have a high fever of anxiety. The fever of constantly being anxious. Because why are we in anxiety? Because either we are wanting to protect things that we have or lament for things that we have lost. That's the story of 99% of the people in the world. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na sochati na kankshati, he said. Only a person who is a Brahmabhuta platform, he is neither hankering or lamenting. But everybody else who is not on the Brahmabhuta platform, what are they doing? They are constantly hankering for things that they do not have and lamenting for things that they have lost. So that lamentation and hankering, that constant thing gives rise to a fever of anxiety. So the Lord says, why first symptom of your sickness is you have a high fever of anxiety. He said, now let me see further. And then he measures this blood or your pressure. I said, you have very low tenderness and a high passion to achieve. A very low tenderness. You are very hard-hearted, very low on tender. Very high on passion to achieve. And the whole world is supporting that passion, right? In fact, that passion is actually the reason of blood pressure. The actual bodily blood pressure they're talking about. Stress, anxiety is all about that passion to achieve. I mean, it was unheard of 20, 30 years ago. A young boy is having blood pressure. But now it is just, you know, you ask a 25-year-old boy, what are you taking? He says, I'm taking Telma 50. What's Telma? Blood pressure medicine. Why? So much pressure to perform, to achieve, peer pressure. Then he said further, he said, let me check. And then he says, there is high level of sugar. You have blood pressure, low on tenderness, high on passion, fear of anxiety, on very high sugar levels, sugar of greed. Money is like honey. And the more money we want, the more honey you want. Honey is sweet. So you are very high on sugar levels. Greed. And then he sees your ECG, electrocardiogram, right? To check your heart, to check whether your arteries are all right or not. And he said, it's a problem. What is the problem? So your arteries are blocked by loneliness and selfishness. Our heart is vacant because it is blocked. You know, once you have a block, you get a heart attack. Basically. What are the arteries blocked by? It's blocked with loneliness. People are really lonely. and selfish.
And that's what the doctor says. This is my observation. Your arteries are blocked with loneliness and selfishness. I said, and you have fractured yourself by tripping with envy. You are so envious of people and you're constantly tripping because of the envy that you have for people. That there's been the orthopedic report also is bad. You are a fractured leg. You're tripped because of envy. Constantly you see people and you feel angry, you trip. You fracture your consciousness because of envy. And then you are very short-sighted. Your eyes, you are very short-sighted. Because you do not see anything beyond the shortcomings of people and your immediate short-term benefits. Very interesting. What is life all about? We are constantly looking at the shortcomings of people. We love to find faults. That's what's the short-sightedness. And when it comes to ourselves, we are looking about the short-term gains that we can have for ourselves. And not being long-term and not being broad in our understanding, my dear friends. That is a disease condition Prabhupada is talking about. Till the time, please understand, why are we discussing this disease condition elaborately? Because till the time we are not convinced that you are diseased, you will not take the medicine. If the patient comes, doctor, sab theek hai, no problem. Then will he take the medicine? Because he's convinced he's not diseased. The doctor has to convince them, no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, these are your conditions. If you don't take, you will die. You will spiritually die. Huh? And the last is that you are deaf, you are short on hearing. Because you have stopped hearing the voice of God. You stopped hearing the voice of your seniors and elders. So please understand, friends. This is what is our condition. Fear of fever because of anxiety. Low on tenderness. High on selfishness. High sugar levels. Blocked arteries because of loneliness and selfishness. Tripped, fractured consciousness because of envy. Short-sightedness because of seeing other people's faults and low on hearing because you have lost them. That's our condition. Do you all agree? Till the time we don't agree to this, we will not take the medicine. And that's why the Lord prescribes to you a medicine. The first thing in the morning, He says, the first thing in the morning is take a glass of gratitude. We take a glassful of some medicine or a pillful of some. Say, first thing when you get up in the Lord, I say, oh Krishna, please let me be grateful for what you have given. How many of us are grateful? I don't want you to raise your hands. Just ask yourself. How many of us are really grateful for what we have got? We are genuinely, from the bottom of our hearts, thanking the Lord for what we have got. Every hour we should be taking a pill of patience, the Lord will say. Be patient. Don't be anxiety. Be patient. And many such things. But most important is, he'll advise that on a regular basis, my dear friends, that the Lord will advise as a doctor, please do a full consciousness scan of your life. Scanning. What is scanning? Scanning shows what you can't see, it is seen in the scan, right? MRI or CT scan. You say, oh, there's some problem here, there's a blockage here, there's something here. It's famous, CT scan is famous now. COVID, do a chest CT scan, yeah, it is there. Even if it does not come in RT-PCR, but it will come in CT, it is positive. Because you can see it. Similarly, the Lord will say, please do a scan of your consciousness on a regular basis. Find out where is your consciousness. Is it healthy? Because as we know, Prabhupada called the society the Internet Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a consciousness-based society. It is not an activity-based society, even though activities are important. But what is important is the consciousness in which we do the activities. So this is our condition. And it's explained here
Another aspect is the Prabhupada says that followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they are very expert in engaging people in this Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada uses the word, they have very high level of dexterity. Very 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 English word, dexterity. Dexterity means expert and enthusiasm. If you refer to the dictionary, he is a dexterous person. That means he has high level of expertness and enthusiasm. So what is it that the Lord is teaching us, in order to be Krishna conscious? And this is the second part of our discussion. And I was analyzing that what is it that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself are teaching as something that is very important, required to be Krishna conscious. And of the many, many things that we can learn from them, one thing that I would like to spend some time discussing today is keeping things simple. Or what Prabhupada called it, simple living, high thinking. Keeping things simple, and that is what is very, very important for all of us to really understand. Because the nature of the mind, as we all understand, the nature of the mind, the tendency of the mind is to make things complicated. Yes? We cannot see things so simple. How is it so simple? We just love to make things complicated. Because the way, if you analyze the way Maya makes us believe, is that the more you have, makes us believe this, the more you have, the less you need. That's quite, from the mathematics point of view, if you have more, then you need less, right? If you want to reach 100, and if you have 80, then what do you need? You just need 20, right? So what Maya says, the more you have, the less you need. And you say, wow, the more I work hard and at least I get more, then I'll need. But is that the way it works? I mean, I was thinking it is such a amazing, illusory snare of Maya. That when we start working, we are convinced that, the more I have, then less. Ek bar ye ho jayega, then everything is fine. How many of us have spoken that? Once I do this, then I'll be happy. Yes or no? Yes. If this is done, and then you work hard. But then this goes far. This amazing snare of Maya. See, please understand, it is so in front of our eyes, but we don't realize it. I mean, I realized it when I was trying to think deeper into it. For years, we just believe that the more we have, the less we need. And it's quite logical, right? The more you have, the less you need. But it never works that way. Because the mind, very brilliantly supported by Maya Devi's energy, loves to make things complicated. And you will say, well, the more I have, the less it is. That is fine. But how can it be so easy? I need to do something more. And you work more and more and more. So, complicated life means trouble, basically. Yes, you understand? Simple life is bliss, peaceful. Complicated life means trouble. So, I just came across, I was thinking that, what are the acharya? Prabhupada talks about, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers are very expert. And when you talk about simplicity, I remember the story of one beautiful story of Jagannadas Babaji Maharaj. You cannot have a more simple person in our sampradaya than him. It was Babaji. No attachments, no belongings, no possessions. He lived 400. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur got him to Yoga Pit, it is said he was 131 years old. When he jumped, he said he was approximately 130 or 121, but something like that. So he was that old. So he had his servant, I think Bihari Lal, or he had his servant, and he carried him in a basket. Jagannath Babaji Maharaj was so small because of his age. He carried him in a basket. I'm sure this person must be a very strong person. On his basket he was carrying. So, you know, one of the opulence that people get attracted to is renunciation, right? So, there was a rich person who got attracted to the renunciation of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He said, "Oh, Babaji Maharaj, I'm so happy to take your blessings." And he spoke to his servant, because Babaji Maharaj would not speak. His explanation, Bhakti Mohan Thakur, he was so old that Bhakti Mohan Thakur actually had to physically raise his eyelids to show him the yoga pit. He couldn't even raise his own eyelids. So Bhakti Mohan Thakur raised his eyelids and he saw, and then he started jumping. We all know this beautiful story, right? Ai to nimai janmabhumi, ai to nimai janmabhumi. He started jumping, and he was jumping so high that his feet could be seen by Bhakti Mohan Thakur. That means the sole of his feet. That means he was going higher than Bhakti Mohan Thakur's height. He could see his feet. That's how he was in ecstasy. That's the glory of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So this rich man met the servant. He said, "Can I give you?" He said, I want to do some seva." So he said, "Keep this 1 rupee. 1 rupee is big money, my dear friends. That time, it's 250 whatever years ago. 1 rupee is big money." So he gave him 1 rupee. He said, "Please use it for the service of Jagannath Das Babaji." He said, "Okay, thank you so much." So then he was again carrying Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, and they had walked a long distance. And Jagannath Babaji Maharaj asks his servant, "That has that old that businessman, the rich man, given you something?" I said, "Yeah, he has given me 1 rupee." I said, "Let's go back. Give it back to him." So they walked all the distance back. And he went to the rich man. And Jagannath Babaji Maharaj told the servant to tell the rich man, I said, "See, I am very old. And this servant is anyway carrying my weight. And this weight of this 1 rupee is too much. He cannot bear that weight. Take it back. You are anyway carrying lakhs of rupees. You can carry on with this one more rupee. You are anyway carrying a huge weight. Take it back." We also know the similar story of Sanatan Goswami, right? With one of his servants is there, "Are you carrying a gold coin?" And then he said, "Give it up. We don't want. Why are you having this noose tied over your neck? Give it up." That's why the Goswamis are described as people who they're mandalapatis. They were multi-billionaires. All of them. Most of them, if not all. Raghunath Das Goswami, Roop Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Very rich people, but they say tyaktva turnam asesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchva. They gave up everything as tuchha. They just gave it up. So they teach, ultimately they are teaching by their example, that simple living. When Prabhupada is talking about learning from the acharyas, we have to learn the aspect of simple living and high thinking. So as long as we don't consciously control the mind and put it to good use, our mind and our life will become complicated. So that's very important. The mind has to be simple. Complicatedness will cause trouble. So how does simplicity come? My dear friends, how does this... Let's focus, because this, the aspect of simplicity is so simple that you might miss it. Right? Sometimes, you know, somebody is so simple that you can miss the person. And I think I spoke in the last class. We are talking about Drutakarma Prabhu. You know, I was just so excited that, you know, Drutakarma Prabhu is coming first time. I was heard that this scholarly, scientifically, very, very astute devotee is coming, Prabhupada's disciple. And I came for the program, I was looking out for him. And I asked somebody, "Where is Drutakarma Prabhu? I really wanted to..." Because in my eyes, I was imagining a person of a particular personality. But the person just whispered, he said, "He's standing next to you." So, I looked next to him, and he was a simple brahmachari, wearing brahmachari dress, saffron brahmachari dhoti, unironed kurta, simple, not even clean shaved. And I realized that sometimes some people, great people, can be so simple that you might miss them. Similarly, the simplicity is such a simple thing in one sense that you might miss it. So he said, I found a very interesting thing on that. You know, many times when we talk about simplicity, I came across a phrase by Mr. Steve Jobs. And Mr. Steve Jobs has written that simple can be harder than complex. Very interesting. Simple can be harder than complex. So it is not easy to be simple. Take it from me. The need is to be simple. But many a times our mind tricks us in thinking that if something is simple, then it's easy. How many of you think that way? Yes? If something is simple, it is easy. How many of us think that way? It's simple, so easy hoga. No. When Prabhupada says simple living, high thinking, that's why sometimes we find, you know, that we tend to get, we all have sort of got tricked into Krishna consciousness. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Very simple. I say, simple, yeah, no problem. What do you need to do? Simple living, high thinking. Very simple, yeah. Simple living, roti sabji khane ka, you know, and Bhagwan ka gun gaane ka, and Bhagwat sunne ka. So we thought it was simple. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we realize it is more complex to be simple, you know, than to be, I mean, it is more difficult than to be simple than to be complex. Because it's easy to be complex. You can just complicate things very easily. Because the reason is because the material world is functioning in such a way that it is supporting complexity. Please understand. This environment is not supporting simplicity. The environment that we live, the material world that we live, the platform is not supporting simplicity. So it is explained, and I was focusing on this word that we usually, when we talk about simplicity, what do we say? Keeping things simple, right? We use this phrase. Did you just notice what you just spoke or what I just spoke? Keeping things simple. That means things are already simple, you just keep it simple. We didn't use the word make things simple. Do you use that word in English? Make things simple. Be honest. There's a reason why we talk about something as make, but in this case we are not talking about make things simple. We talk about keep things simple. That means what? Basically, life, consciousness and all that we do is simple. Keep it simple. Otherwise, you can make it complicated. I mean, it's such interesting how language can teach you so many things. The way we speak. I mean, in the first preaching we did, says this is my hand. We just say all this is my hand. What does it my hand mean? Do you say I hand? No, my hand. That means my, there's somebody else whose the hand belongs to, right? Simple. It's English language. Or for that matter, mera haat. Any language for that matter. So this language, the way it has come up, is also teaching us so many things. When you say keep things simple, that means things are simple. But you just keep it simple. So when we talk about simplicity, it is, I mean, whether you are a brahmachari or you are a grihastha or a sannyasi, it is not the matter of being a minimalist. Minimalist means to have very frugal things. We are not talking about being minimalist. You understand? It's not that simplicity means reduce your needs. In one sense, yes. But as per your needs, you can have what it is. But we're talking about the mentality of simplicity. And the mentality of simplicity is all about being a trustee and not an owner. That is very, very important. What is the difference between a trustee and an owner? And when you talk that I am a trustee, that means it doesn't belong to me, but it is given in my care. That's why you are called a trustee. Somebody has put a trust in you and he has given you this to be under your care. The mentality of a trustee and the mentality of an owner is different. Owner feels that this is mine. I own it. I can do whatever I want with it. But the mentality of a trustee is different. Trustee is that I'm having it on behalf of somebody. And I have to be very, very careful when I use it because it belongs to somebody else. Doesn't the mentality change completely? If you have your own car, you will drive it a particular way. But you're taking a friend's car, you'll be very careful. Hopefully. Or maybe opposite. But usually you are careful. Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else and you have to give it as it is. No scratch. Right? So we will discuss that 10 to 11 facets of simplicity. I found it so important because we will discuss this later, that because Krishna, do you think he's a simple God or a complex God? How many of you feel that he's a simple God? I mean, don't worry, he'll not be offended. I just want to establish this one thing. Okay, let's discuss this and before. So I was just thinking and I wrote this. It said, Krishna is a simple cowherd boy, yes, in a simple land of Vrindavan, playing the simple bamboo flute, wearing the simple garland made of forest flowers, adorned by a simple peacock feather, surrounded by simple cowherd friends, and his greatest devotees are simple milkmaids, the gopis, and he simply loves his devotees. Yes or no? Krishna is basically a very simple person. He likes to be simple. I mean, what is the greatest? I'll tell you one story which I heard from many years back. It was Krishna's birthday. It was Janmashtami. This was the time where Krishna was in Vrindavan. And there were so many people give gifts to Krishna. So Krishna was sitting and all the elders came. And there was a system that all the elders would come and Krishna would take the gifts from the elders and he would. But there was a unique thing happening there. Krishna, while he was taking the gifts, he was looking at the door constantly. There was a door which was closed. He was looking at the door. He was in Nanda Bhavan. Looking at the door, constantly looking at the door, constantly looking, as if he's waiting for somebody. So then he got all the gifts and then suddenly from the door came running all his coward friends. You know, just opened the door and everybody just came running. And they said, oh, Krishna, it's your birthday. And, you know, they didn't have any on reverence. They didn't have any. They just thinking Krishna, they were patting Krishna. They were and Krishna was sitting. And each of them were giving unique gifts. Somebody gave a colored sand to Krishna. Somebody put some different sand. Somebody gave some peacock feather. Somebody gave this. Somebody gave different other peacocks. Somebody gave the bark of a tree. And such. Somebody gave leaves as cups. Various simple things that Krishna, that he gave. And Krishna, as I heard from, this is a story I heard from His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj. And Krishna was, he took all the gifts that he had received from elders and he took it and he put it down, took it and put it down. But Krishna was so much feeling indebted and love for his friends that whatever gifts he gave, Krishna kept it on his body. He would not keep it down. He was so precious to Krishna, these gifts. He would, everything was on his body, nothing came down. And after all the gifts were given, Krishna started crying. And he said that, there's so much love that you have given me. How do I repay this love? And he just started embracing each of his coward friends. And the only thing I can give you in return is this embrace of mine. Of course, Krishna's embrace is the greatest gift. What more you want? By the way, whenever we, if at all, or whenever, In the posterity, we are able to go to the spiritual world. The first thing that we get is Krishna's embrace, as we receive from Gopakumar, the beautiful description in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna embraces Gopakumar and he dies, cries tears. This first thing that Krishna. So Krishna embraced all his friends, and Krishna said, "This is all that I can give you in return. I don't have anything else to really match, and even this embrace is not a match for your love." That's how Krishna is such a simple God, and he loves simple things, wearing simple peacock feather, wearing simple garland, wearing a simple dhoti, loves to be in a simple land of Vrindavan. It is not that the Vrindavan is a place where there is multi roads, what is that? What is it called? Multi-tire roads and big dams and, you know, very sophisticated. None. It is the simplest of simple place. And Krishna doesn't take a step out of Vrindavan. Krishna's friends, the greatest Aradhya Bhagavan of Rajeshtanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavan Ramya Kachit Upasana Brajabadhu. The greatest devotees of Krishna are the Brajabadhus. And who are these? These are simple milkmaids of Vrindavan. So please, how can we not stress the fact of the need to be simple in our Krishna consciousness? It's very important. Because the person that we are trying to worship is a simple God. Even his philosophy is very simple. He says, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. Said, I'll carry what you have and supply what you lack. Simple. I mean, can you imagine a God who is saying that, don't worry, just keep on doing what you want. I mean, keep on doing not what you want, keep on doing what is required to be done, not what you want. And then, I'll carry what you have, and what an assuring, this, how merciful and simplistic personality Krishna is, that don't worry, I'm not here to really, make things difficult for you. I will carry what you have. And what does he have to carry? Nothing. We do hard work. I always give this example. You do all the hard work, you appear for the exam, and of all the hard work and all the sweat and perspiration for year of exams, you appear for 100 mark exam, and what do you score? 1 mark. Usually in spiritual life is that. All the hard work can leave you 1 mark. Krishna has to, Yogakshamahami, Krishna will supply you 99 marks to make it 100. Please understand, by your endeavor, you cannot achieve Krishna. At the most, your endeavor is just enough to attract Krishna's mercy. Is it not what we learn from the story of the sparrow? Yeah. So this is what Krishna is. His philosophy is simple. You make it, we make it complicated. He says, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we make it, how can it be so simple? Thoda management karna padega yaar. How can it be so simple, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy? Let us have some management principles. Let us do some psychology. Let us do all these different things. And we make it complicated. But actually it is simple. I'm not against management. I'm not against psychology. But if those things are making our Krishna consciousness complicated, then it is a danger. You use it. As I said, use it as a trustee. For Krishna service is perfect. So we have some short time and we are going to discuss the various facets of simplicity. Please understand how important it is to focus on that. First is, simplicity means the time for what you love to do. First is, what does simplicity mean? That you focus on doing the things that you love to do. That is a simple mindset. We cannot completely avoid doing things that are necessary to be done. As I spoke briefly about this in the beginning, that we have to do things which are necessary to be done, and we may not actually love doing those things. We have to do it as a duty. But at the end of the day, we must engage ourselves into doing things that we love to do. And each one of us have unique, it is not one dress which fits all type of situation. We all have our uniqueness in what gives us pleasure. And under guidance and under proper supervision, if we are doing something which really brings us pleasure, which gives us satisfaction, which gives us the feeling of contentment, that is important. And that's simplicity. That's part of simple thinking, my dear friends. To do what you like to do. And not all the time do things that you are expected to do. You understand? Second, and for that, the natural outcome is to know yourself. Right? If you want to do what you like to do, then you have to know yourself. And the second important thing is, of simplicity, is self-awareness. You need to know what is it that you really love, and you need to know what is best for you in the long run. This is part of simple living and high thinking. What that you really like to do, and what is good for you in your long run, and what is it that, what are the core values that you live by? As I said, that the famous we live over, what's that, Bulia Tomare Samsare Asiya, that beautiful bhajan by Bhagwan Thakur, that you live your whole life just living, and also the song of Vidyaraya Vilase, you're just acquiring data and knowledge, and then the end of time you realize, what have I really achieved? What are the core principles that you want to live by? Is very important to think, and that's part of simple living. You cannot just live and live. That's complicated. You just live life the way it comes. That's not simple living. You need to focus on your core principles. Another very important aspect is filter information. A lot of data means a complicated life. You all agree? I mean, we all are, what is it called? It's the weapons of mass distraction. All these weapons. So much, oh my God, so much data is available now through this one thing. Unlimited data. I mean, you could have never read a New York Times sitting in India. You cannot. But now just, you can read New York Times sitting in India, and you have data of all the small things happening in the states of America. What do you need to know about? So being simple requires you to be very selective, I underline the word selective, and very protective towards what you listen, what you watch, what you read, and what you discuss. Please, my dear friends, please be very, very selective and protective of what? Of what you listen, what you watch, what you read, what you discuss. This is simplicity. As I said, simplicity is not easy. It is difficult. Isn't it difficult to be this? To be conscious, to be selective, to be protective of what you read, what you hear, what you discuss. But this is what Krishna consciousness is all about. Too much data means complexity. For sure. But too much of Bhagavatam is not data. It is Krishna. But too much Krishna is very good. The fourth thing is precious relationships. To really value relationships. Simple life brings in easiness in conversations. I mean, these words, I come out with a lot of thinking. What does simple life mean? Easiness of conversations, solving all misunderstandings and resentments early on. This is simple life. Whatever resentments, obviously we are going to be interacting with people, there are bound to be resentments, there are bound to be confusions. You cannot say, I'm a simple person, so there won't be any confusions with me. You know, it's bound to happen. But what is the simple living? That means you have to be completely solving the misunderstandings early on and being very open and compassionate with people. And whatever is toxic, whatever is destructive, should be given up. The relationships which are toxic and destructive should not be involved with. This is simplicity of relationships. I mean, this simplicity when you apply it to relationships. The fifth is simple diet. Simple means a simple eating schedule is very, very important. Of course, sometimes you may have what you call, nowadays they call it the one day you can cheat. Aisa kuch hai na? Maybe when you go to a nutritionist or to a dietitian, he said, this is strict diet. But one day, little cheating allowed. So obviously, you know, we have senses, we like pizzas, pastas, and it's nice, right? Yes or no? Yeah. But they're not good all the time. They're unhealthy stuff. But most important, simplicity doesn't mean only you. It means it has to come down to simple diet and schedule. It's so important. People have crazy schedules and they eat crazy things, and that's why they have crazy health. I mean, you know, what they eat at 12 o'clock in the night, and what they eat, a deep fried stuff with a cold drink. Can you imagine what's happening to your body? A fried thing with a cold drink, and this is what is given to you. With that fried drink, the cold drink is given free. You are ruining your health. Finished. So it is important. We talk about this, and we say, what are you talking about eating, my dear friend? It is important. That's part of simple living. Then we talk about another biggest observation that I have. One of the greatest enemy of simple living is what we love to talk about is multitasking, right? How many of you have heard this word multitasking? Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. We talk about multitasking. You know, we have to be multitasker. So what happens when you're multitasker? I was just analyzing. For a multitasker, that means for a hammer, everything looks like a nail, yes? For a multitasker, everything looks like a task. That means everything that you are doing, 16 rounds is a task. Tick mark. Reading Bhagavatam, tick mark. Talking to a devotee, tick mark. Spending time with your children, tick mark. Giving time to your wife, tick mark. Speaking to your friends, tick mark. It's a task. It is not a task. It is relationships. So please savor life. Multitasking ruins it. In my analysis, I hope I am wrong, but I don't think the only person who can be actually a multitasker is only one, Krishna. Because he has the capacity, because he's God, is omnipresent, omnipotent, he can do multitasking. None of us, we may need to do some multitasking, but be conscious. Don't just make everything a task. As I said, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To a multitasker, to a chronic multitasker, everything looks like a task. Isn't this a problem? We just love and actually, if you are not a multitasker, at many times it is seen, you are very primitive. Hey, you are not multitasking? Kaisa aadmi hai? I mean, you are seen as a primitive guy who is good for nothing. But that's not that you're making your life complex by multitasking. Again, my dear friends, I'm not saying you may have to do multitasking as and when required. But don't just make your life a task. A task list. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? This is simplicity, and we have to work hard to make sure that your life doesn't become just a task. Otherwise, Krishna also will say, okay, you are dead, tick mark, no, go back to some other life. We also do it, it's for a task for him. Ye tama prapadyanti tam satyavi bhajami ham. And the seventh aspect of simplicity is a feeling of harmony. See, many times harmony is very important. Simplicity means harmony, and I was just thinking, complexity is cacophony. You heard of this word cacophony? It's just, you know, it's just, if the drums are beating at the wrong, doom, doom, dam, doom, doom, this word. It's cacophony, right? Simplicity means harmony. Our life should be in harmony, and that's simple living. And that is why many times you might not be in harmony with the environment you're living. It's important to really reset your life, the reset button. You need to go to a place where you can again harmonize your life, get your things back to normal, harmonize your life, and then again start living. It's very important. Simplicity, the outcome of simplicity is harmony. Ask yourself, am I in harmony with my mind, with my consciousness, with my body? And one of the major problems is, as I said, simplicity comes in many different styles. And one of the most serious problem of simplicity, which doesn't allow us to be simple, is when we are constantly comparing with other people. That comparison causes a big complexity in our life. I tell you, it's such a serious problem. Ask yourself deep within and you will find out that this is a real problem, because we love to compare. It's Anusaran is fine, but Anukaran is bad. You understand? To follow in the footsteps of somebody is what is our principle. But to imitate somebody is dangerous. Right? So that's why we have these two words, Anusaran and Anukaran. Is it Hindi word also? This is usually Gujarati. In Hindi? Yeah. So Anukaran, Karna. That means to imitate. That's bad. But Anusaran is similar word, right? Anusaran means follow in footsteps. So we actually love to just imitate people. And when you start comparing people, there's people who live their life in a particular way and they are able to find the balance, but you may not be able to find the balance the way if you live the way they live. So it's very dangerous. You ride your own boat or you ride your own plane, as we say. Don't compare. Because if you compare, you are going to make life miserable for you. It's going to be very complex. And there is this serious competitive spirit. You know, that I want to be like that person. I want to be imitating that person. And it is not absent in spiritual circles as well. It is strongly present here as well. The desire to compare and imitate and be something that you are not. That's why Krishna says, better to do one's own service imperfectly rather than doing somebody else's service perfectly. What a statement. Think about it. Krishna is not attached to something being perfect or not being perfect. He's attached to that you do your duty properly rather than do somebody else's duty perfectly. Your life will be a mess. Your life will be complicated. And that's why we like to just end where Krishna, as we describe, Krishna is a simple God. And all these beautiful stories where you talk about the Dvijapatnis of Vrindavan. What does it? There are so many lessons that it throws on us. But what are the one of the major sweet lessons? The simple devotion of the wives of the Brahmanas versus the devotion of the Brahmanas. The Nagakanyas. The simple devotion of the wives of Kaliya versus the propensity and the power of Kaliya. Krishna visiting Mithila and he going to the house of Sutadeva and Bahulaswa. Bahulaswa is the king. He offers Krishna royal palaces and royal dancers and royal everything. And Sutadeva is a poor person. He himself dances, himself serving Krishna, himself throws water. Krishna is equally happy. He is happy with simple devotion. So when this beautiful stories that we talk about, you know, it is not just that we just hear it and we get entertained and we say, oh wow, Krishna is so wonderful. But we learn lessons from this. And what we learn from here is that if we are expert and detached, and one of the most powerful and important ways to be expert and detached is by meditating upon the aspect of simple living and high thinking. The aspect of simplicity in our lives. Simple and high thinking is like a sutra Prabhupada has given. And you can unzip it and it can really open up into a beautiful lifestyle that we all need to find for ourselves. Not to talk about it in lectures only, but ourselves, how does it apply? Simple living, high thinking. How does it apply to Shidamadas? How does it apply to you? How does it apply to you? It's different. But it is that simple devotion which will attract the simple Lord of Vrindavan, wearing a simple peacock feather, having a simple forest garland on his neck, surrounded by simple devotees, the coward boys, having the supremest devotee of his, the Vrajabadhus, the simple maidmaids of Vrindavan, as a simple God. And he wants us to be very simple in our devotion, and that is what he likes. He loved the devotion of Sudama. Sudama was simple. I mean, people found him so strange, but Krishna loved his simplicity. There was no pakhand. There was no duplicity. He was what he was. I am poor Brahmana, all my clothes are torn, and I've got this only thing I could get. This is what it is. And Krishna was loved, and he reciprocated with Sudama, gave him devotion and gave him material wealth. Because Krishna loved his simplicity. He made him sit on his throne. Who gets to sit on Dwarkadish's throne? Nobody. Except for Dwarkadish. And Rukmini Devi sits next to him, not on this throne. But Sudama sat on his throne. Why? Simple devotion, my dear friends. So I pray to Krishna today. Let us all pray that he helps us, all of us, to really, through these beautiful verses of Bhagavatam, learn these beautiful aspects of being expert, being detached. And a part of being expert and detached is to be very simple. Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur was asked, what is simplicity? And he replied, simplicity means no duplicity. He didn't reply it in anywhere else, in any different way. He said, simplicity means no duplicity. So let us not have the pakhand or duplicity in our life. Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry for going over time for 10 minutes. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Yeah.